Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, glad you're with us on a Monday morning, the 7th day of October. If you are watching us on Rumble or X, we appreciate that. If you're on the Odyssey app as well, you can always hit the rewind button and listen to our interview with Rabbi Jeffrey Abraham. He is a local rabbi talking about this anniversary, this 1 year marking the horrible massacre and attack that happened on Israeli soil, and what's happened since, and the anti-Semitism that has risen up even here in the greater St. Louis area in the years since, which is a real shame. But a great interview. We'll have it up on demand for you on the podcast as well before long. And if you want to go there, you can check us out. You just go to the Odyssey app or wherever you download your podcasts, and you can find it there. Just search for the Mark Cox Morning Show. We still got lots to get to. Jesse Jane Duff coming up. Want to talk to her about that big rally. President Trump returning, obviously, to the scene of the shooting where he was shot there in Butler, Pennsylvania. And I'll get Jesse Jane's thoughts on that. Tom Ackerman with more on the Mizzou setback. That's what we're going to call it, Kim. It was a setback. A temporary setback. Thank you. But think how they're feeling in Alabama. I bet they're feeling a lot worse in Alabama this morning.
Yeah.
It was ugly. We'll get to Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour on that. But first, though, let's get to this morning's top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Exactly 12 weeks ago this evening on this very ground, a cold-blooded assassin aimed to silence me and to silence the greatest movement, MAGA.
Yeah, it had to take a lot of guts to go back there, and boy, did the crowd turn out. It was an amazing crowd up in Butler, Pennsylvania for President Trump.
You signed the bill that makes it legal through all 9 months. Mm-hmm. Is that a position you think Democrats should advocate for nationally?
The Vice President and I have been clear the restoration of Roe versus Wade is what we're asking.
Yep, that's Tim Walz with Shannon Bream, who did the job of two CBS moderators who dropped the ball in the vice presidential debate.
Falsehoods like the idea that FEMA funds are being redirected to migrants, which is just not true.
Well, it is true that FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security have been spending billions of dollars on migrants.
Thank you, Senator Tom Cotton. The talking points memo is out, and it's telling the mainstream media to beat this drum that this is misinformation. It's not.
I'm incredibly concerned in North Carolina. I hear every day from people on the ground there, and they are desperate for help. It is a dire situation there. I actually think we don't even know the extent yet.
That is Laura Trump speaking this weekend with Dana Bash, having to argue with Dana Bash, who keeps saying, I need to keep saying this. This is false. This is misinformation. FEMA is not wasting money. These are two different tranches. You know what a tranche is, Kim?
No.
It's like a latrine. No, that's a trench. I'm sorry. A tranche is two different pots of money. So all they're arguing here, ladies and gentlemen, are semantics. FEMA has absolutely been wasting its resources on illegal aliens in this country. They've been at the border. They've been in these big cities where they're providing temporary housing and all that stuff. But they're arguing that it's out of a different account than the account where they would help hurricane victims.
I think the term gaslighting has been overused, yeah. But this is what is happening right now for a number of things like this one. FEMA, when Karine Jean-Pierre said in 2022 that they were in fact doing that, now they want to tell us not, that was not happening. Just like Kamala Harris was appointed border czar and they bragged about it, and now they're saying, no, you guys are crazy for ever suggesting that.
Listen, folks, this is 2022. Karine Jean-Pierre, when asked about FEMA and what the administration was doing to support migrants. Now, why they were mad at that point, just to refresh your memory, is that Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis had started shipping and, in some cases, flying these illegals from their towns up to the north. Remember they sent him up by the Hamptons one time? They were sending him to Chicago. They were sending him to New York. Oh, the Biden administration hated that because it was, these are all sanctuary cities. What were they going to do when they were suddenly faced with this problem? Here's her response. Cut seven.
As we've done many times in response to repeated attempts by these Republican officials to create chaos and confusion at the border, we are working to manage the consequences of including this latest political charade that we're seeing. So FEMA regional administrators have been meeting with city officials on site to coordinate available federal support from FEMA and other federal agencies. Funding is also available through FEMA's Emergency Food and Shelter Program to eligible local governments and non-for-profit organizations upon request to support humanitarian relief for migrants. We'll continue to do what we can as a federal government to support these cities as we rebuild our asylum processing system after it was gutted by the Trump administration.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, let me ask a question, Corinne. Ooh, pick me. On behalf of the people with no power or food or water in Tennessee and the Carolinas right now and maybe parts of Georgia, how do I get me some of that emergency food and shelter program money?
Isn't it sad that the FAA identified if they went over the border and crossed as a quote-unquote illegal, they would be treated better, they would have free housing, they wouldn't have to pay for their utility bills, they'd probably get a preloaded gift card and a cell phone.
I can't stand it. I'm listening to news reports on the way in this morning saying the federal government, FEMA's asking people to stop spreading the disinformation that FEMA's spending money on illegals. It's not true, but we know it's true. You're playing semantics with us. Here's Senator Tom Cotton on Meet the Press, where they're also trying to claim that he's lying when he says this. Go to cut six, please.
My broader question to you, I think, is about this misinformation. Do you think this is a time to put falsehoods aside, like the idea that FEMA funds are being redirected to migrants, which is just not true?
Well, it is true that FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security have been spending billions of dollars on migrants. Now, I understand some people say they're separate funds, but we just passed a short-term spending bill. It's very common for the administration to come and ask for permission to move money between funds, especially to prepare for emergencies. And second, I would note that this administration seems to have no problem finding money when they want to spend it on their priorities. When they need hundreds of billions of dollars to pay off student loans for graduate students and gender studies programs, they somehow find it. When it's trying to get helicopters to deliver food and water and cellular service and life-saving medicine into these mountain valleys, they somehow can't seem to find the money.
Yeah.
Well, FEMA even came out and said, oh, we don't have enough money to help if there's another hurricane, which now we're talking about Hurricane Milton that could make landfall in Florida by Tampa Bay.
Wednesday,
is a potential Category 3, which could be devastating for the area. Then they're backtracking on that, doing damage control, saying, oh, we do have funding because of all the backlash. FEMA has now gone as far as to put a Hurricane Helene rumor response where they go through all the rumors that they think are out there and they fact check. Check them. And of course, one of them is that this has gone to help fund the illegal immigrant issue.
But it has. They have spent money on that. There's no denying it. That just tells you what you're dealing with here, folks. That's what your FEMA folks are on their line about. And they're doing it for partisan reasons. They don't want the criticism this close to an election. That's it. Plain and simple. All right. Coming up, we'll get to Jesse Jane Duff. Sure, she's got some thoughts. I know she attended at least one of these rallies. I'm not sure which one, but I know she was with President Trump just the other day. We'll get to her right after the break. Stay tuned.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
All right, Jesse Jane Duff on the line with us this morning. I had to play that because CBS is slowly leaking out excerpts of the big 60-minute interview with Kamala Harris tonight. And Bill Whitaker, to his credit, actually pushed her on how she's going to pay for this and told her that she's living in la-la land, basically, because Congress is never going to pass those tax.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser-told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A plan she wants to pass.
Well, you know, she also said that people need to pay their fair share, when in fact, we all know, if you've been paying attention, and I would expect that most of your listeners have been because they listen to you, so they're paying attention, that you could take all the money from every single billionaire out there, and you're still not going to cover all of the expenditures that our Congress seems to want to pay for.
Right.
They have created a massive debt based upon a wish list of dreams and ambitions, and the Biden-Harris administration has shoveled more money into projects that are not what the American taxpayers want. Here we have now FEMA has taken money and given it to illegals, allowed our money that is supposed to be for Americans to go to fund illegal immigration.
That's misinformation, Jesse Jane. I was told that by the CBS News anchors this morning. That is misinformation that you're giving.
Is it? Oh, my goodness. Goodness gracious. Stop the presses here. You know, and we have all of these other examples of, for example, we also know that there was a congresswoman on Rita Cosby this weekend. She's the Newsmax hostess.
Yeah.
And they basically showed that money is getting funneled out for homeless veterans has been funneled to illegal immigrants. So you've got FEMA that's broke now, and you've got veterans that are living on the streets. And illegals, they have fully funded all of these illegal immigrants to come here and make profits off of the American taxpayer. And meanwhile, this woman is trying to talk about tax plans that she's going to dream up that are, and she's done nothing for 3.5 years. No, I'm going to say this. It's going on 4 years now. And they have basically eradicated every successful plan that Donald Trump had put into place. So now we've gone backwards instead of forwards. Wages are down over 3%, while under Donald Trump they went up over 8%. That is a simple, clear example right there. Inflation that had steadily risen to a point where wages could not even keep up, and we have now food just 20% higher. We have baby food 29% higher. Car insurance is 54% higher. Our gas, our oil is easily 30 to 40% higher. Everything's higher. Wages are lower. And this lady thinks, you know, she's going to come up with a creative tax plan. My goodness, you couldn't get anything right. So why do we expect we're going to vote you into suddenly being brilliant? Because you're not.
Did you get a chance to see Trump's butler rally?
Oh, absolutely. And I was also with President Trump on Friday.
Okay. All right.
So two things back to back. Friday, he was with the veterans down in Fayetteville, North Carolina, the Veterans Town Hall. I actually spoke with President Trump personally and talked to him about the next plan we want to do for veterans. And then when he was in Butler, what a phenomenal crowd. What, well over 100,000 people easily. I'm just so impressed. I didn't mean to cut you off, Mark. I know you had a question.
No, I didn't. I was going to ask you because I saw you post something on social media about being at one of his rallies. I just didn't know which one. So
yes, well, the Veterans Town Hall in Fayetteville, North Carolina was phenomenal. So it basically wasn't just for veterans. It was basically for North Carolina. And the fact that that man showed up to help people in North Carolina when we have seen little or nothing from the Biden-Harris administration, he asked me backstage, one about the veterans, I said, sir, you have 740,000 veterans in Pennsylvania. That is the largest concentration of veterans in the entire nation is in Pennsylvania. Every swing state has over 600,000 veterans. When you should have seen that outburst of support for this president when he simply came out and said, hey, the first thing I got to do is change this back to Fort Bragg. The crowd erupted because they, you know, base liberty. What the heck is that? He said, this base has won two world wars, Fort Bragg. And the general that it was named after was one of the great reconcilers after the Civil War that brought the nation together. And these fools want to go out there and change it to Fort Liberty. I had five veterans that I had invited. There were three of them that were able to ask questions. One was who got discharged from Space Force because he pushed back on the DEI policies. One who had gotten pushed out because he refused to take the vax. He was an Army Ranger. And Trump looked at him and he says, wow, this guy's right out of Central Casting.
Yeah,
okay. Because he was so, yeah. And then we had a Marine who had had served in Afghanistan and asked about the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. Additionally, we had a Purple Heart veteran that presented that had given President Trump his Purple heart. He had mailed it to him.
Oh,
and
wow.
He came, and he was from Vietnam War.
We got to go.
It was. Okay, thank you. Take the Hill Motivators. It's going to be a long week. We got Kamala Harris still mucking everything up.
It's the truth. Jesse Jane, thank you as always. We appreciate that. JesseJaneDuff.com. Be sure and check her out there. Veterans for Trump. I love what she does. We're going to give it to Tom Ackerman. More on the big Mizzou football game when we come back.
Great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchorman, not Anchorlady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom Ackerman in studio with us right now. And a little bit of shell shock on the part of Mizzou fans this Monday morning, would you say?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I would say on Saturday right away. You know, the Texas A&M took it to them right away.
Wow.
First of all, Mizzou had a horrible call go against them. Now, none of this matters anymore, but at the time, you know, you had a pass interference that absolutely was like textbook pass interference. They waved off the flag, and they're like, oh, boy, here we go. This is how the game's going to be officiated. And you could see the wind getting taken out of Mizzou's sails, and Texas A&M marches right down the field and scores. Then they get the 75-yard touchdown to Luther Burden. Nope, 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 called back. Offensive lineman downfield a few yards. And you look at the replay, and you're like, technically that's correct. But again, a call goes against Missouri. You could see their body language just, you know, the life was taken out of them. And then they just get trounced. I mean, this Le'Veon Moss comes out early third quarter, first play, boom, 75-yard touchdown run. They got destroyed by A&M. Good teams don't let that happen. Good teams overcome bad calls and bad situations and make a game out of it. Missouri did anything but. I cannot tell you one thing that they did well. Nothing. And especially on the line, they had everybody up in Brady Cook's face. They had nobody to stop Moss and the A&M passing attack, for that matter. It was a thorough beatdown by Texas A&M. And they have a lot to work on, without a doubt. That they are now ranked 21st in the country, plunging from number 9 down to 21. They are not a college football playoff team. They have got to figure this out pronto, just how to get back on in their winning ways. And you know what? If you really look at it, it was trending that way. BC and Vanderbilt, although I know Vanderbilt beat Alabama, but BC and Vanderbilt gave them tough games. They were able to get through it, but Missouri has yet to play a great football game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they shut out their first two opponents, but, you know, Murray State, Buffalo. I mean, you know, they just have not been what people thought they were going to be.
I think even when they were ranked 9th in my head, I'm thinking, I just don't think that that's really how they are going to be playing. Once they face a real opponent, in this case Texas A&M, they're going to get obliterated, yeah. And I don't like that for them.
And A&M, and we all know it's a great place to play. Kyle Field's very intimidating, but A&M's played really well since Notre Dame beat them in the opening game.
Was A&M the program that Saban suggested was buying a football team, or was that Texas Tech? I can't remember. It was one of the A&M. Texas teams. It was A&M, wasn't
yeah,
it?
He went after Jimbo Fisher. Yeah. And, you know, I love Nick. You know, there's no bigger Nick Saban fan than me. I love Nick Saban. I've read books about him. I've studied him. I think he's a great leader. I love him on College Game Day.
Yeah.
But one thing he was wrong about was that this NIL situation right now is going to destroy college football as we know it. I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun to watch Vanderbilt fans running down the streets of Nashville with the goalpost.
3 miles they ran. Did you see that?
I think that's pretty fun. I mean, those kids will never forget that for the rest of their lives. I think it's great to see Arkansas spring an upset and knock off Tennessee, and they're celebrating in Fayetteville all night. You think that's bad for college football? I think that the parity is actually good. I love the 12-team playoff. Now, they need to regulate NIL and make this not the Wild West, but actually, you know, put a cap on it at some point. I think they will. But it's good for college football to see all these teams feel like they have a chance to win a ball game. Now, Missouri is in this group of teams that actually does NIL very well, and they have a loaded offense, but a defense that looked very porous to me, a quarterback that was very unsure of himself with all the pressure. He was 13 of 31 passing. That is horrendous. I mean, it was a bad, bad day.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. You know, I don't often talk about Kentucky football, but they did play Georgia to a point, and they've had a decent win this year at Ole Miss. You know who they play next week? Vanderbilt.
Oh, yeah.
I would hate, I'm just thinking to myself, I'd hate to be the team that has to play Vanderbilt after that shot of adrenaline in their arms. It's Kentucky has them next week.
I would say watch out for Kentucky, and here's why. Saban, I'll go back to something that he said on College Game Day. He was 100% correct. They asked him, that Alabama-Georgia game that was a thriller, incredible football game, who has the tougher time, Georgia getting up off the canvas or Alabama? And he said, it's definitely the team that wins. The team that wins now is like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, we're,
this is easy.
Everybody's talking about us. You know, we can put on our, you know, we can lay back a little bit and relax and you'll rest on our laurels and look what happened. You know, they went to Vanderbilt and got beat. The team that loses has an edge to them. You know, they, everybody's like, all right, what do I have to do to improve? Everybody's on the same page after a loss. That was bad. How do we get better? So I guess what I'm telling you is UMass is in big trouble this Saturday when Mizzou goes up there.
Oh, yeah.
Mizzou's got to show us something here. You know, that how do they respond to a bad loss? Because that was a bad loss. How do they respond and come back from that? But I think Kentucky's got a shot against, you know, this will be a good test for Vanderbilt. After all this, greatest win ever, blah, blah, blah. Can they keep edge and do it again the next week? Winning after a win can be very difficult to stack those wins together. I know confidence is a thing, but sometimes you can get overconfident.
Well, I was going to say, there's a difference between confidence and cockiness, and maybe teeter on that line a little bit
and
too
since
much.
You're talking about Kentucky, I will say Indiana's now ranked 18th in the country.
All right, let's switch quickly. What about the Blues?
And we're undefeated.
Regular season starts tomorrow.
And we were the first team to become bowl eligible in the country, which is out of control.
I was trying to bail you out, Mark.
Blues tomorrow at... I know, he can't handle it. Blues tomorrow at Seattle. I love the fact that Chris Zimmerman, the CEO, told me yesterday he thinks they're a contender. That they are a legitimate contender. I tend to agree only for a playoff spot. I don't think they're a Stanley Cup contender just yet, but I'd love to see this young group of players, and I think they're a lot faster than they were. And I'd love to see continued growth out of Jordan Kyrou, who had a nice year last year. Robert Thomas had a great year. Bennington was probably the MVP of the team last year. As long as he's in net, they got a chance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be fun to watch them here over the next. I'm ready for hockey. It'll be fun. I'm going to be at the home opener on the 15th. I'm fired up about that. So
I'm going on the 17th. Go. I'm looking forward to it.
Carl will be at
I'll
all
be
of them.
At all of them.
Yeah. Oh, you will?
And then there's a game on the 19th and the 22nd.
Yeah. There will be much Van Halen played on the 17th.
I bet.
At least lots of requests.
You might hear one or two. Tom, what do you want to hear on opening night, besides the goal horn a lot?
Let me think about that. I'll text you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll text you. I got a week to think
about
it.
That's what everybody else does.
Yeah.
Make it a good pick,
I'll
Tom.
That's the cool thing. I can sit there with Angie.
Not
like,
the IU
like,
fight
watch
song.
This. Carl. Carl. That's a great call.
Song.
Carl,
I
play
do have
Indiana
it.
Or Indiana.
Carl, how
it.
Many requests do you? Because I'm sure you have
right,
a lot
have
of friends
go,
who go there.
I have to go interview
there.
Coach all right. Hackworth.
All right.
I'm being called back.
Bye, Tom.
Bye, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Normally, Mark's good at that. I know you got to go, but we forgot about
well,
that.
Well, you know, 45 blew by, and I'm thinking, well, maybe
know,
he's got a little
chatting.
Extra time this morning, and I forgot that he did
how
have to
many?
Run back down
yeah, how
ball.
Many? Because I'm sure you have a lot of friends who would go to the same game. So, how many requests on average do you receive with a song
that
they
first,
want played?
First, I ask them if they are there, because people are like, I can hear it on the TV. No, I'm not doing that. If you make a request for me, you have to be at the game. So.
Is there a verification process that you have in place for that now?
Show me a picture.
Gee, send me a selfie
of you
holding
seat,
up the number
so
2.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, usually people are honest. No, I'm watching on TV. No, I'm not going to play a request for you if you're not
Thank
at
you.
The game.
But might not hear it anyway.
Let's see about usually anywhere between 10 and 15 a game.
Wow. And how often do you have to say, that song sucks, I'm not playing it?
He says that to me quite often.
Well, I figured I that, but...
Well,
not playing anymore Sammy Hagar.
No, usually it's... what they do is they forget, and then they request it with 5 minutes left in a tie game, and it's the slowest song in the world.
Uh-huh.
And I'm That's like, it. No.
Should I request Celine Dion, Power of Love, or...
Yes.
Okay.
And tie game...
Yeah. At the very end.
Yes.
Okay. Got
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Great. Great.
And at least people understand. They go, oh, you have a point.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's why I've been doing this for a while.
Do you get any requests for this one, Carl?
We went Blues!
We do have a video to that.
Do you? I'll bet you do.
With the Who.
Oh, my gosh. No kidding.
Yes.
We went Blues. Nice.
Classic.
All right. We're back in just a minute. Stay tuned. And I won't.
Don't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
That was Lee Greenwood in Butler, Pennsylvania with the president this weekend. He came out on stage and sang it live. He's 81 years old.
For being that age, that's impressive.
Now, at the beginning of it, he didn't start off very well.
No.
He was kind of wobbling a little bit, and Carl said, what did you say?
Why is the record warped?
But you said he's 81 years old. I didn't know he was that young. Let me say that. That young. Mom and Dad, are you listening? He's young. But... I mean, yeah, it didn't sound really like what we're used to.
I first heard him sing that song at a Ronald Reagan rally in Cincinnati in probably 1979 or 80.
It was like 80, 81.
I don't know, 80 or 81. I don't know, probably 80. Well, that's when he got elected, right?
Well, yeah, but the song didn't come out, I want to say, until 81.
Okay. Well, he's been singing it for a long time for the right people. Let's put it that way.
I love that he's been pairing up with Trump. And, you know, when he came out for the RNC, remember that? Oh, my gosh. What a moment seeing Trump walk out. It was the first really sighting, really, that we had seen of him, right, since the shooting?
Yeah. When he came into
84.
Arena. He's 84?
No, the song came out in 84.
In 84. So maybe I saw him in 84.
For the second.
Yeah, the second one, maybe.
The re-election.
That was it then.
Came and sang that song at the Blues' first game after September 11th.
Wow.
Okay.
And so they, in 2001, he came and sang that song before the game.
Did he go around for different hockey games and do that?
I don't know. I think our ownership reached out to him and he came
in. That's nice.
Yeah, what a get.
I love that.
And he signed my CD.
Cool. CD. You know, yeah, I was going to say that dates you right there. Gosh.
Signed a CD.
Which I still have.
I kind of miss CDs. I used to have those.
You're going to get your phone
signed
now?
Remember that store, Dry Ice? I used to have the CD holder where you'd push it, and I'm sure your daughter had that. All the CDs would come out, and you'd spend 5 minutes going through and seeing which one you wanted.
What should I listen to in the car today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time.
I'm 8-track old, Kim. My first car had an 8-track player in it. So
with the cassette adapter?
No, it was just
okay.
I don't think I had a cassette adapter, but you couldn't skip ahead easily on an 8-track. So you had to play the album in its entirety. It wasn't easy to skip ahead. So now when I download an album on Apple Music, I just play it from the start. I never hit shuffle because in my head I know what song's going to be next because I always listen to them in that order on those albums.
I'm sorry, they were always like 11 or 12 minutes because there were four different tracks on it, and sometimes your song would get cut off in the middle of it, and then it would go to the next track and it would play part two of that song. It was awful.
I feel like that would be torture, in particular for Gen Z right now, telling them that they had to listen to the entire album from start to finish. They couldn't skip ahead.
No. What were you going to say?
That was it.
Oh, nice.
We're used to being able to jump around to whatever song we want.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you what, that's going to do it for us today. We'll get to over to Brian Kilmeade here in a couple minutes after the news at the top of the hour. Keep the people of Israel in your prayers today that there are no more of these attacks and that the protests around America today are peaceful. And I'm sure there'll be full coverage throughout the day on the Annie Fry Show and the Mark Reardon Show. Have a great Monday. Kim, Carl, and I will see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.